This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
All right, we're here, and like for the last 19 years, we've been here live as much as possible for Around the House. And
19 years?
19 years I've been doing this.
Wow.
We actually found receipts from the other station from 1999. So it's almost 21 years, but I had a little time off in between stations. But, we've been doing this a long time. And I want to thank a lot of listeners for being so loyal. We have people that have been listening year after year after year, switched stations with me, have called in, have won prizes. That's pretty impressive. I guess we really do this for real.
I think you got the knack down now, don't you think?
Not a hobby anymore. Yeah. So if you are listening to us this morning, if you're not listening, then it doesn't really matter. But if you're listening to us this morning and you want to call in, this is almost like an anniversary show because we kind of started in the middle of July originally. And if you want to call in and say hi or you just want to ask a question, it's 203-661-5051, 203-661-5051. Both Gene and I are doing this remotely today. Me out of laziness, Gene out of trying to stay smart with the COVID-19 virus. And Tony's in the studio, manning the board. So if you want to chat with us, feel free to give us a call. Once again, it's 203-661-5051. Lots of stuff going on here. I'm booting up as we speak. I'm trying to get on to Facebook, and so far my camera is not seeing me, which is interesting. But
oh, so then it's a normal morning. Okay.
Normal morning here. All right, it just saw me. So, we're going to talk about a bunch of different things, but now my computer is saying that it is going into Windows Edge. So who knows if I'll be able to get onto Facebook today. But if you want to join us on Facebook, I'm going to try and get us on as quickly as possible, you can go on Stephen Gladstone, and it's spelled S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Gladstone. And you can get on my webpage, my Facebook page, and not sure.
And call in.
Yeah,
we're here.
Call in. All right, let me see if I can get on Facebook at the same time.
And, Steve, I think it's appropriate that your anniversary show is around this time because this past week, I don't know if you know about it, it was the anniversary of the tape measure being patented by Alvin Fellows of New Haven.
Really?
1868. Really? So tape measures always play a big part of your show. And there's a tie-in there, somehow.
What would you have done without it all these years?
What would the giveaway be?
Without a tape measure? Probably, I don't know. I mean, for me, tape measures have always been a really good idea because people generally, when I hand them a tape measure at the end of a home inspection or we give them out as gifts, they usually say, wow, I really needed this. I've been looking for mine. Mine's been missing for years. And what a great gift. This is very useful. And never really got a bad experience with tape measures.
No, you know what I think is really cool about them, because I have mine, a couple of mine, but it's the ones I got were like a nice size just for the glove box.
Yeah.
You know, not one of the big bulky ones, but it's just a nice size. You can put it in your pocket without it being, a bothersome thing. And you never know when you need one. It's one of those things that you need. When you need it, you're going, what did I do? Why don't I have one of those? Where's that junk drawer? I got to go look in there for it.
Well, you remember that folding tape rule?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I use.
I was going to ask, is that what he invented? Or did he do the roll-up tape measure
he patented the tape measure, and Isn't Fellows a name in the business?
Yeah, it's a book company. What is it? Is a
Fellows does? Yeah. I think Fellows makes scissors. I think that they do some office equipment, but I'm not sure that they're in the tape measure business anymore. Hmm. I think Stanley probably.
With an E at the end of the name, I think, right?
No, I think the E is Downton Abbey. The guy,
oh, maybe that's
the Fellows is the guy, but this was no E.
Okay, but I know that name too.
Yeah,
I don't know what for, but I know the name. Hmm. We'll have to put our intern on that and find out what it is.
Really?
As soon as he comes in, I'm sure.
Let's get an intern. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we have had interns in the past.
We call them pages, don't we, in the business?
Oh yeah,
yeah, Gene? Pages. Yeah, when there's an audience, there's a page or something like that. Yeah, yeah.
All right. We're gonna. Can you load up a break because I'm having trouble getting on Facebook and
sure.
We can do a couple of commercials and then I'm gonna come right back.
Okay.
If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11. Trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy services the Greenwich area and about 50-mile square radius around Greenwich. They also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. Green Solutions Landscaping and Tree Services is a licensed and insured full-service provider of landscaping, tree removal, masonry, snow removal, and other property maintenance projects. Green Solutions has been serving Fairfield County since 2011 and is operated and managed by Bernal Mora. Green Solutions offers its customers a comprehensive suite of services which will make your property something to be proud of all year long. At Green Solutions, we treat your property as if it was our own. We provide free estimates and references upon request. And they get involved with property management, seasonal cleanups, weeding, pruning, mulching, weekly mowing, planting, grass seeding and sod, irrigation systems, lawn aeration, gutter cleanup, poison ivy removal, masonry, tree removal, fencing, firewood, installation of Christmas lights, and landscaping construction projects, and even snow removal during the winter. So if you want to give them a call, it's 203-400-4949. That's 203-400-4949. www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. That's a mouthful. So www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. And once again, 203-400-4949.
Now, back to Steve Gladstone and Around the House.
All right, we're back, and I'm looking at myself on Facebook now, and join us on Facebook if you want to see what I look like. But my beard is getting so long, I'm going to have to buy beads and start putting decorations in there. My mustache...
That's not a Letterman length yet.
Oh, not? No, I don't even know if I could grow it that long, but it's... I got a good couple of inches there that are just dangling down into my throat. So my wife has made a point of saying several times I could use a haircut, but I'm just waiting. I'm waiting for all of this to be over. So join us on Facebook if you want to see what we look like or see what I look like today because I'm on at home. You can see my office and see where I usually where all the magic takes place.
All right, yes, so, the love of the magic.
So you said that you had something to say you wanted to talk about on the air. What were you...
I think it's my 3-year anniversary on the show. Sometime, I think it's this month or next month. I forgot. I got to look at my phone, but my phone's in use at the moment.
Right.
So I have to check that out. But yeah, so 3rd year anniversary here.
Geez, we'll have to go into the archives.
Yes, I'm going to have to go to the... That's going to have to dig deep for that, boy.
Have to do a best of, right?
Yeah.
Wish I'd known.
Have to go to your Rolodex and look up my name and all that. Yeah. They still make those? No wonder. Rolodex?
Rolodex? I haven't seen them lately, no. It's funny how time goes by so fast.
And yeah.
You know, when you look at the number of shows that we've done, and I used to be amazed at WSTC how many engineers I had. Because I took photographs of just about everybody who ever worked the board there. I must have had about 15 different people because they didn't pay them very much.
And you're a tough taskmaster, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm so difficult. And the different news people that used to come in and do the news on the hour, because that was all live then. It was just really interesting how many different people came in and were part of the show. Some of them got very involved with us, and some of them were distant. You know, they would just come work the board. Andrew, who came on our show once, he said several times that he listens. He went through the home inspection at school. He was really into it and really enjoyed a lot of the conversations that we had, just like Tony does, and getting involved in the show itself, which has always been fun. The fact that it's so many years, though, is amazing to me. And I every once in a while I'll pull out an old mini disc or an old CD and listen to the show and see how it's changed over the years. And so many of our listeners, you know, unfortunately we lost a lot of listeners when we changed stations, but so many people have been very loyal, and that's always fun, too, is that they've really appreciated the show. I'm not always sure that the show is either as entertaining as it needs to be or as educational as it needs to be, but people keep telling me they like listening, so it's good.
And we're supposed to be educational and entertaining?
I don't know what we're supposed to be. We talk about a lot of different things, but Joe Raynone Jr. is wishing us a good morning and a happy anniversary on Facebook, so thank you, Joe. And Joe's been listening forever, so that's nice.
Well, thank you. That's very nice.
He was just a kid when he started listening, right?
So was I. So was Mark. My goodness. You know,
yeah.
That recording of him, he was probably, 5 or 6 years old. It was crazy.
And now here's Steve Gladstone.
Can't keep a straight face.
I love that.
And now the kid is, he's going to be 25.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that makes sense date-wise, too, huh? All right, so I have to talk about last week.
Yes.
Last week was kind of crazy. We did the tag sale live from the garage. The tag sale, as my wife projected, was a total failure. Total failure. I think I brought in about $125 total from the 2 days. Stuff was still sitting on the tables after I closed down. I sold very little, and it was a tremendous disappointment, even though I put up signs all over the place and talked about it on the radio. I promise, I will never do that again. I will fill a dumpster before I do that again. But what I'm probably going to do is I'm going to try and sell some stuff on a couple of websites, and then what I'm going to do is donate the rest to one of the hospitals, something else.
Yep.
And I'm not
yep.
even sure that they're going to want it because of this COVID stuff, because things are in cardboard boxes and stuff like that, that they may say that they just don't want the toys. But I have an awful lot of toy trucks that I thought a lot of little boys would have liked and a lot of dolls that I thought a lot of little girls would have wanted. But most of the people coming up, I can't believe how many people drove to my driveway and then just turned around, never even came up into the house or up into the garage to see it. So it was very disappointing. Gene showed up for a while, and at least I had someone to talk to. But I had to put everything back away. And that was...
You made $125. Was that... Because I was there Saturday after the show.
Yeah.
Was Sunday better? Was that the day you made the money?
Sunday was a disaster. I made about $85 the first day.
Wow, really? Wow, okay. That's
all bad. It was bad. And it was basically a waste of time. The only thing good that came of it was I cleaned a lot of stuff and, you know, organized it a little bit more. But, no, I mean, basically it just showed that I was an idiot for buying all this stuff. I admit it.
But that's not true, though. I mean, who was going to be able to guess back in those days that all this stuff was going to happen? Who would have ever thought all this stuff was going to be this way?
Well, the guy that invented the pet rock, you know, he kind of had something going in the back of his mind. And the Beanie Babies guy, he knew. Cabbage Patch Doll guy knew. You know, let's put something out in plastic and see if people will buy it.
Well, you know, those are the ones who were successful. You don't know about the ones that weren't successful and tried to do something.
Just Shark Tank. You can see lots of unsuccessful.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, there was a period of time when just about every gas station had a premium that you could buy for $25 or $30 of a gas truck or an oil truck toy that you could buy for your kids at Thanksgiving. And I thought they were kind of cool because I grew up working at my father's gas station. And so I would buy them, and I would give them as presents to the kids and buy a couple for investment because everybody felt that the Hess trucks were going to be valuable. And now if you go on the Internet, they're not so valuable anymore. If you go on the websites, they're not so valuable. So,
kids don't want to play with trucks. They want to play with electronic stuff.
Well, that's the thing, is that they're playing all these games now that they have no interest in touching and feeling real things. And so the toy train... by the way, I didn't win the contest.
Mm. What happened? Did you make second or something?
I didn't even get an honorable mention. They picked like six people as semifinalists, and one of them actually looks like mine, but it's not mine. And so I'm disappointed about it. You know, I'm just so depressed.
It's so teenager.
Oh,
wow.
I'm so depressed.
Man.
No, actually, for me, it was really... It was a good thing for me because it gave me some project to work on during the pandemic, and I think it came out wonderful. The fact that they decided not to pick me, that's just the roll of the dice. I had a lot of fun doing it, and it's really cool. I mean, the people that have seen it have delighted in it. I don't know whether to take it apart yet or not.
Take pictures of it.
Oh, I've got loads and loads of pictures of it. And a friend of mine from, where do they live? I'm not really sure where I don't have their address, but Ryan and Susan Hannigan have a habit of sending postcards to people and thank you cards to people. And what they did is they took a picture of my contest submission and made it into a postcard, which is just beautiful. Just beautiful. And they sent it to me. And so I really appreciate that. I've got it on my desk. I can show it to the people that are looking on Facebook. I don't know whether the glare is going to show or not. But, yeah, you can see it.
Well, you should also describe what you're talking about. I don't think we've made that clear.
Okay, I built a 2-foot by 4-foot diorama of, it had to be constructed out of several elements that I had to buy from the Walther's company, and they're a big train toy manufacturer, a Okay,
they were putting on this whole shindig thing.
And they were putting on an annual model railroad or building contest, and so it had very specific directions. You had to use the items that you received from them, and you received about 10 items, and all of those items had to be in the diorama, but you could embellish it any which way you want with some restrictions. And the restrictions were, there were four different categories. There was a youth category, an adult category, a youth team, and an adult team. So if you wanted to do it with another adult, you could submit a team thing. And each of those categories had different requirements. So I entered as the adult, an individual adult, because that was appropriate with the virus and all the rest of it. But kids submitted theirs, and teams submitted theirs, and each group had a responsibility to follow certain requirements. My requirements were to use those elements, and I didn't have any restriction on how much money I could spend. But the youths had a restriction because they didn't want the kids spending too much. And it only had to have a section of track in it. It didn't have to be a railroad. So they sent you a section of track. So you needed a grade crossing, or you needed a couple of cars on a track. Or I built a subway, and because I had subway cars, and I could use my subway cars that I already had. So some of the things that I put into this thing, I already had purchased, so it didn't have to cost me a fortune. And what I did is I created a little town and a hill with mountain bikes riding down the hill, and scenery and roadways. And one of the things they sent me was an antique Dairy Queen store. So that was in there, and a supermarket, and that was in there. And I bought little shopping carts, and I fixed up some cars so that the hatches would open on the back of the cars. And this is all minuscule stuff. I mean, the cars were no more than an inch in length, okay? They were tiny. And I had little people and crossing guards and road signs and stuff like that. It very, very intricate, very complicated stuff that really looks like a little town. And there were even a background with trees painted and clouds and all kinds of stuff. So it was a lot of fun. I got to use my artistic abilities. And, have fun. So if anybody ever wants to see it, I'll post some pictures so that they can see what it looks like. But that was my pandemic project.
Other than a name? Would you have to give it a name or something, or is it just here it is?
Does it what?
Did you have to give it a name, the diorama, like a name of some sort?
No, I didn't think about giving it a name. No, it was just a diorama. And, you know, when I was younger, I really liked dioramas. I was very impressed with a lot of artwork that I saw that were shadow boxes and stuff like that. I really, there were a couple of times when Sandy and I went to some places that we were, art galleries, that we were very tempted to buy some of these dioramas of back street bars and stuff like that, that were in miniature, old, what do you call them, country store with the cracker barrels and all the little containers of food on the shelves and stuff. I always thought that was really cool, miniaturized stuff. And that probably influenced me more than anything else to play with the trains and build displays with the trains. Because, you know, I although some of my trains actually work, most of them don't, and I don't really care that much. I just enjoy building the buildings and putting the roadways in and making ponds and landscaping, stuff like
that. And lighting and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's much more fun for me.
Yeah.
And when
anybody who sees your layout there will see how much work you have put into that to make it like really authentic looking.
Yeah,
you got some great stuff on there, really.
It's fun. And
yeah.
It's not like I devote hours and hours and hours. It's every once in a blue moon I go down there and I fool around a little bit. I work on very specific little things. I mean, right now the project that I've been working on down there has been a parade. Okay? So I have some antique cars and some antique fire engines, and I have a marching band.
Any protesters out there or anything?
I'm sorry?
You have any protesters lined up, Ben?
I do, actually. My daughter, for several years after she got out of college, worked for a labor union that used to organize supermarket workers. And so I have a little factory that's there that has a protest out front for higher wages. And there's actually people that are holding signs that say fair wages they're holding all kinds of demonstration signs. And there's a policeman standing there with a dog, and there's people watching the demonstration, and there's a picket line in front of this thing.
Cool, though. That's very cool.
I also heard they're going to be going after that statue of Steve Gladstone, trying to take that down.
No.
Oh, believe it or not, it's not me. There is a statue in the middle of the diorama in a park that I did, and I put a bunch of kids playing football and a couple of people dancing to somebody playing a guitar in the middle of the park. And there is a statue in the park that I just took a little person and painted him completely gray and glued him on a little platform.
Now you have to put it in there where people are tearing it down.
That'll be the next thing. I'll have to put a statue of Christopher Columbus.
What you could do? Ropes, the coolers that you had on the table, and set them afire.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Go ahead, take it out of the garage first. That's the first thing you got to do.
Yeah, the silliness of it is probably it's a really calming thing to have some hobbies. I have friends that make pens. I have friends that build things. I have friends that are doing what Sandy's doing with raising chickens and stuff. All of these things are very healthy, helpful things to get through some bad times. And whatever gives you pleasure, these are called positive addictions, okay? Because they don't hurt anyone, they don't hurt you, and you get some degree of pleasure from it. So many of us who like to travel can't travel right now. So many of us who like to be social with other people can't be social with other people. And it's frustrating and it's depressing. And a lot of people need a little bit of a perk each day. And unfortunately, a lot of people are drinking more or are doing all kinds of things that might end up being negative.
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Because they don't have anything else to do. They don't know what to do with themselves. They've watched every TV show they could think of.
My advice,
after 35 minutes we're getting into it, is get out of your house and start to look at things that you can do that might help you to make your house a little bit more comfortable. Maybe you move around some furniture. Maybe you organize that bookshelf. Maybe you throw away some stuff. Now, Stamford is in a big uproar right now. I don't know whether or not you're aware of it in Norwalk or in Greenwich, but there's a big uproar because they let go a whole bunch of people who were working at the recycling center. And they're saying that the recycling center is only going to be open on Saturdays from 7 to 2. So right now, I wish we had a remote camera of what's going on at that recycling center, because there is probably a line going down McGee Avenue, and there's probably all kinds of screaming and yelling because they've now closed something that was open 6 days a week to one day a week. And everybody who's got leaves and debris and stuff that they've been organizing and closets that they've been cleaning, they're not going to know what to do with all their stuff.
Well, I have an idea. I've got an idea for you, for us. If they're doing that, why don't we go down there and do a remote and see what people are bringing to throw away? just to see what they've got.
Maybe we need to do that. We can do
that.
That
would be like an Antiques Roadshow.
Yeah, we'll probably get arrested.
Antiques, you know, just antique crap yard or something. I don't know. Just make a difference. See what they got.
But there's going to be a lot of angry
little toys. At.
You
missed that, right?
No, I just said that there's going to be a lot of angry people because of the dump, the recycling center. I don't really want to call it the dump, but for most of us, we've been calling it the dump forever, but it's the recycling center. And there isn't a lot of recycling that goes on anymore. Most of that stuff gets hauled away and landfilled because there's very little money in recycling right now. So much has changed in the last year or so with what's valuable, what's not valuable. That, you know, one of the things that we need to start thinking about is what are we buying that's ending up in the landfill? Because other than cardboard right now, they're not getting any money for it. China's not buying any of our stuff, which may be because they're upset with Trump or maybe because there's just no profit in it. I don't know. We're just not getting any money for any of this stuff anymore. And I don't know that we ever got any money for all the clippings and branches and all the rest of that stuff. That usually just becomes mulch somewhere. But that requires a lot of manpower to move around. And we don't always value those people until they're not there. But letting go a whole bunch of people out of public works is probably not a good idea. But we're going to have to bullet with a lot of things right now because if people aren't paying rent, they aren't paying taxes. And if people are going out of business, they're not going to be paying their fees for different things. So the city is not getting, the state's not getting the sales tax. The city's not getting a lot of other taxes. We're not going to have the kind of services that we're used to.
Well, it's amazing to me that recycling, I mean, we geared up to handle recycling, and now you can't even make any money from it. And, you know, so it's like we had a great idea, and we like it's almost like we overdid it.
Well, I don't think it's true. And I think that what we've done is we attached 5 cents to a can of soda, and for a lot of people, 5 cents isn't enough. For them to recycle it. So maybe we need to make it a bigger number. We need to start valuing that cardboard more. And we need to maybe, you know, a lot of people put a lot of garbage in with the recycling. And so a lot of that recycling gets thrown into the garbage because it's contaminated. You know, if you're not rinsing out containers, they can't use dirty containers. And a lot of people or just can't be bothered. They might throw it in the recycling thinking, well, somebody else is going to rinse it out. But there isn't anybody at the other end that's doing that. So maybe we need to rethink the whole recycling end of it, and maybe we can't have what's called single-stream recycling anymore, where you're just throwing all these things into the same container. Because my garbage output dropped tremendously when we started putting more things in the recycling.
Well, I'll have to bring you some garbage then. I can't have that if you don't have enough.
Well, you've probably got
I'm
a dumpster.
Doing an experiment, actually, in my house.
Yeah,
with recycling. I have two stand-up flip-top kind of receptacles. You know, you put the garbage in or whatever, the recycling in one and then garbage in the other. And what I've done was, I've done this for a while. You know, you buy those plastic liners for your kitchen size stick, right? For your container in the kitchen. So I put the liner in there, which is the big white plastic bag with the drawstrings on them. And what I do is because you go to the supermarket now, where I go to Stop and Shop, they give you, they put everything in like paper bags, right? The old brown paper bags, they're putting those in as the bags now that they give you. And you walk out of the store. And by the end of, you know, a week or two, I've got a whole stack of brown paper bags. So I decided I'll put one paper bag in the other, and I'll put that inside the receptacle where the plastic bag is in the kitchen. in both of the receptacles. And so one is still for garbage, and one is still for recycling. And when they get full, I take out the bag, the plastic bag, bring the bag, that's the bag with all the garbage in it, and it has the brown paper bags as an inside liner, and I dump that, and I save the plastic bag, and I bring that back into the house, and I wash it out. I know it's a little messy, but I wash it out, I hang it up, and I put another, you know, use another plastic bag, but I kind of recycle them back and forth all the time.
Right.
I clean one, then I use the other one, then I clean that, and I go back and forth. And I've used maybe four plastic bags when I could have probably used in that period of time at least 10. And just have to wash it out. I mean, if it's ripped, you throw it away. But, you wash it out, hang it up, let it dry, and you have another plastic bag that you can use again. And it's,
you know, what I'm thinking about as you're saying that is, remember how we used to get jelly and you'd pry the cover off the jelly and it became a glass?
Yes, absolutely. And howdy doody on or somebody, something like that. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Around the House, and we've got a bunch of people listening on Facebook. And Brian is asking, is this live? This is live! We'll be right back.
David Baker, Floor Coverings International at Fairfield, providing all types of flooring solutions from initial design through expert installation, located in Fairfield and New Haven counties. His success is being able to connect with his customers. He makes buying floors easy, safe, and effortless, striving to provide a different experience from anything else that people have ever experienced before. He's part of Floor Coverings International, an organization with over 115 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada, offering a wide selection of flooring products in several price ranges, including carpet, hardwood, natural stone, ceramic tile, laminate flooring, vinyl, specialty materials, and eco-friendly selections, including renewable, sustainable hardwood products, natural linoleum, cork, and bamboo. What makes them different is they bring the store to you. So you call and make an appointment at 203-386-1776, and he brings the mobile display room to your door. And he'll bring in the samples, show you what you need to know, and you pick it, he measures it, and they'll come and install it. He brings the store to your door and inspiration to your feet. That's Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, 203-386-1776. If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes right after the radio show. I go run into the classes, and it's a 10-day class. So 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar. And you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is New England School of Home Inspection.com. New England School of Home Inspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824. If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today.
And now, here's Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
And we're back. And if you were watching us on Facebook, you would see that we're constantly talking. We're constantly talking. And talking about
other stuff. Show whether you're here or not, you know.
Whether you're with us or not, we're constantly talking.
Yeah, we carry this on for hours afterwards. So
that's true. Sometimes it is. Sometimes we can't leave the studio.
Luckily, they bring food in for us.
Here's my advice. If you're not into gardening, this is going to be a little tricky, because what I'm encouraging people to do is get outside. Go for a walk. Go look at the flowers. Go look at the shrubbery. Go look and see if something needs to be done. But more importantly, appreciate what's going on outside, because it's a beautiful, beautiful day out there. And you need some positive thought. You need some positive situations. Go for a walk. Say hi to people as you pass them. If you've got a pet, take the pet for a walk. I can just picture 10 chicks on leashes, right? But
that's
take the dog for a walk.
I like
take
that.
Get a leash and take them out. Go do something. If there's a park that's open, go to the park. Begin to at least appreciate the fact that the weather is beautiful, that you're alive, that you're not sick, and that you're staying safe. You don't have to be inside the house. Put that mask on, but go for a walk. Get out of there. If you've got projects to do in the house, then start to look at what those projects might entail. And start to do them. Give yourself some.
And even in your area, if you're walking around and you see some debris, wear gloves and pick up some junk that may be on the side of the road. I mean, I see that a lot in my area because it's a construction site.
Yeah. My wife is always telling me, don't touch that, don't touch
that. Have gloves.
Bottom line is, if you're wearing gloves and you bring a garbage bag with you, you could probably make your world look a little bit nicer.
Absolutely. Right? Yes.
If you've got a big yard, get out there with the weed whacker. Clean up some stuff. Maybe transplant something. Maybe take a shovel out and take out a dead bush and put in a new one. Or, you know, do something that's going to make you feel that you've accomplished something and that you're going to feel good about it. Get out there and do a little sweating. Okay? If something needs painting, take out the paintbrush and do a little painting. If something needs cleaning, get out the power washer and do a little cleaning. I'm looking out my window, and I already see about 14 things I should be doing.
Yeah.
I'm already tired.
The 15th thing is close the drapes on the window, I think, is what you need there now.
Yeah.
That'll work.
6 o'clock this morning, I had a neighbor who was screaming outside, absolutely screaming. These are the same people that run their lawnmower at 5 o'clock in the morning. They just don't care. Really interesting. Good morning,
everybody. What were they screaming about?
I don't know. She screams a lot. She screams
really?
A lot. Oh. I think that there's some mental illness down there.
Maybe she's part rooster or something. Who
neighbors,
knows?
Neighbors know. Have called the police. I mean, it's just it's a barrage of screaming at her husband. And I don't know that he's even listening. Maybe he's got a hearing problem. I don't know. I don't pay any attention to it. My wife was saying, what is that noise? And I couldn't even hear it. I have blocked it out mentally. Either that or I've just lost my hearing. But I really do mean this. There's so many things that you don't typically have time to do. This is the time to do it. This is what the virus has given you, the opportunity to spend some time on things that have been ignored. If you have a book in you, start to write it. If you need to read a book, start to read it. If you want to binge watch on TV, binge watch on TV and watch the show that you haven't had the time to watch. I just think that, time is still going by. And we all say, I should have done that, I could have done that, I would have done that. Go do it.
You know, and another thing is to just go outside and walk around or drive someplace really, like sit next to one of the rivers or a stream or something and just look around. Because I do that sometimes. I go to like near a river somewhere, I bring a chair to sit down in, and I just sit there listening to the water go by, watching the, looking at the beautiful trees and the flowers and all that kind of stuff, and just chill. Just to get out of the house and just chill for a while is really a great help. You'll feel a lot better. And don't litter. Remember, don't litter. I still see people doing that, which really is annoying to me.
I was at Walgreens the other day, and I couldn't believe how many masks and rubber gloves were on the ground. I don't know what people are thinking. I mean, get that garbage bag and put things in the garbage bag.
And there usually is a receptacle for it, too, and then people throw it on the ground.
Don't leave people for other people to clean up. Leave garbage around. To me, that troubles me. That depresses me. That people are so foolish that they're throwing stuff on the ground. What used to bother me a lot is you'd go to a parking lot somewhere and you'd see that somebody left all of the fast food wrappers on the floor or they emptied their ashtray on the parking lot ground. I don't understand that. When I was teaching seventh grade on Long Island, one of the kids said to me, it's creating jobs for people. And I thought, how ridiculous is that, that we are creating jobs for people to clean up after us?
Right.
You should be cleaning up after yourself.
And use the exercise.
I remember living in Manhattan and having Earth Day, where we would go to a park. Many of us would go to a park, and we would just fill bags of garbage, cleaning up around the shrubbery and all the rest of that stuff. And what a positive feeling that was to have a whole bunch of people working together to clean up the neighborhood. I think that's just brilliant.
And you could also go down to the beach and bring a bag with you also there and pick up the debris that others have left behind.
Just be careful, that's all. You don't want
to be careful. Absolutely.
Get with sharps.
Right.
Leave the needles for other people. But certainly, if you're wearing gloves, or you could even put two pairs of gloves on so that there's no chance of a ripped glove or anything, you could certainly walk the streets of your town and pick up some of the garbage that might be laying around. And you'd feel better that you did something, right?
And the thing is, also, without, I was talking about the garbage thing that I'm working on. You're cleaning up the environment. You're not, maybe because some of the stuff that I don't throw away, plastic stuff that I don't throw away, is going to save a life of a dolphin or who knows what, wildlife, because that stuff always ends out in the ocean.
Yeah.
And all these animals are dying because they get tangled in nets and they get tangled in this and that and everything else. And it's disgusting. Just take care of stuff. Put it where it's supposed to be. And that's that's my thing for the day.
Now, another thing, a little bit more house-oriented, is the other day we had that really heavy rain, and a lot of people's gutters overflowed because there's all kinds of junk in the gutters. This is a good day because it's bright and sunny to put a ladder up and clean the gutters. It's also a good day for taking the power washer and cleaning the deck or the walkways and getting some of the debris off. And that's another way for you to feel good, to know that you've accomplished some stuff around the house that is meaningful and is going to have a longer impact on quality of life. A lot of this is quality of life.
You were talking about your train set before, too.
Yeah.
You know, it always reminds me of doing a jigsaw puzzle. When I was a kid, we had jigsaw puzzle on a card table. And it's one of those things you walk by and you go, I'll do one or two, and you find a piece. If you
found that piece. Later, you realize you're still there, yeah. I think that jigsaw puzzles have been selling quite well right now.
Yeah, they are.
A lot of people are doing exchange of jigsaw puzzles. I heard some people talking about this the other day, where once they finish the puzzle, they put it back in the box and give it to someone else and get a different puzzle for themselves. And so they're putting them together. I remember years ago, Sandy and I used to spend hours on a puzzle, and then I would put spray adhesive on it, and we would frame it.
Yeah.
And use it as wall art. But it was always fun to do some of these puzzles. So
it's mindless. It's mindless stuff, and it helps your brain get a rest for a while. And you get out of your head, and you focus on something pleasurable.
This is also a good time to try and learn a language, so that when you're able to travel, maybe you can speak Spanish when you go to South America, or speak Norwegian if you're going to go to those countries or whatever.
Down the street,
down the street. If you want to order in your local restaurant, it might be a good idea to learn some Spanish. The thing is, it's once again, it is an opportunity, because if you're sitting around doing nothing, all you're going to do is get depressed. And if you do some things that are going to improve you, even if it's just reading a book or watching a video or doing any number of different things that are somewhat educational, think about energy auditing your house. You could look to see how much insulation you have, or when was the last time you changed the filter in your air conditioner, or when was the last time you painted a room, or even went in your basement to look to see if there were any critters running around down there. All of those things are good things to do. I'm one of those people who is constantly cleaning the basement, because I live in an antique house, and there's always something that's deteriorating or needs to have some attention devoted to, and things that need to be put away or reorganized. How many of us have paint cans or paint that we don't even know what room that was painted? Maybe it's time to get rid of some of that stuff. You really used up an hour, huh? All right, we're going to break for the news and the weather, and then we're going to be back on Around the House.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
Sports civil rights icon dies. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Sometimes you have to do something out of the ordinary. Sometimes you have to make a way out of no way. We have been too quiet for too long. There comes a time when you have to say something, when you have to make a little noise.
That was civil rights leader and Georgia Democratic Congressman John Lewis speaking on the floor of the U.S. House in 2017 in support of gun control legislation. His fellow civil rights activist Andrew Young says he knows why his friend was so respected in the halls of Congress.
I've never seen John Lewis angry. I've never seen John Lewis, short-tempered. He's always understanding. He's always determined. But he's always, he demonstrates what I call the power of humility.
Congressman Lewis had been fighting pancreatic cancer since late last year. He died yesterday. He was 80. I'm Christopher Cruz. There's been a dramatic increase in shootings in some parts of New York City in recent weeks, so this weekend the city will use every available police resource to try to bring the shootings to an end.
New York's mayor has taken a lot of heat lately for the recent rise in shootings across the city.
Not only is it not acceptable to have violence in our city, we will defeat it.
This weekend, Bill de Blasio said the NYPD will join with community groups to push back hard.
We will combine presence of police, particularly foot patrols, police right there at the front line connecting with the community with all those grassroots efforts.
Police Commissioner Dermot Shea said a lot of it has been related to gangs in specific neighborhoods.
We have no intention of giving back to gang members any blocks that we have earned with our own sweat and blood over the years.
Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
The FBI says it's reviewing the death of an 18-year-old man shot and killed by an L.A. County Sheriff's deputy last month. Andres Pinedo was shot 5 times in the back. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Today on Hey Culligan, hard water hurts appliances. Go for Glenn in Glenview.
Yeah, hey Culligan, my appliances aren't that old and they're already on the fritz.
Sounds like your hard water might be giving your water appliances a hard time, but there is hope in the form of a Culligan high-efficiency water softener that helps extend the life of dishwashers, washing machines, heating systems.
Hey, Culligan?
Yeah, Glenn?
Yeah, hook me up.
Glenn, one high-efficiency appliance-saving softener already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with the local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
We started Untuck It to create the perfect untucked shirts. But along the way, we had other great ideas too. Like super comfortable polos that come out of the dryer looking crisp and wrinkle-free. And always hit at just the right length. Choose from our traditional PK, easy wrinkle-free, and performance styles that wick moisture. So even when it's hot in the shade, you'll feel cool and dry in an Untuck It polo. Try our famous polos now at untuckit.com or any of our 85-plus stores. Untuck It. Shirts designed to be worn untucked.
The United Nations says the U.S. and other affluent countries have not been doing their best in the global fight against the coronavirus.
Their response has been grossly inadequate.
That's U.N. Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs Mark Lowcock, who says when the financial crisis hit in 2008-2009, better-off countries, he calls them, stepped up to ensure stability. But they've been largely absent in helping poorer countries avoid economic consequences, hunger, and increased conflicts in the pandemic. Lowcock says the estimated cost of protecting the poorest 10% of countries is about $90 billion. Less, he says, than 1% of stimulus packages wealthy countries put in place for their own citizens. I'm Jim Roop.
The mayor of Portland, Oregon is demanding that President Trump remove militarized federal agents he deployed to the city. Some of the agents have been detaining people on streets far from federal property that the agents were sent to protect. The state's Democratic governor says the president is just making political points. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Ad paid for by Progression. Are you being denied credit? Are you getting hit with high interest rates because of a low credit score? Bad credit happens to good people. In fact, millions of Americans are victims of incorrect or unfair items on their credit report without even knowing. But don't worry, because the Credit Repair Helpline is here for you. We'll communicate with creditors and the credit bureaus on your behalf to address unfairly reported items like late payments, collections, charge-offs, and even bankruptcies, which can lead to a higher credit score. Our proven process has helped hundreds of thousands of people just like you see meaningful improvements to their credit profile. Working to repair your credit today can help you get the new car, new home, or new job you've always wanted. Call 800-296-1281 now and get your free credit score. Call 800-296-1281 to start working to restore your credit. The call is free and the credit evaluation is free. So call 800-296-1281. That's 800-296-1281. Start building your credit today. Again, 800-296-1281.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Heat advisory is in effect from noon Sunday until 8 p.m. on Monday. Mostly sunny and hot today with highs near 90. Mostly clear, mild and muggy tonight, 68 to 73. Mostly sunny, hot and humid tomorrow, 88 to 93. Partly sunny, still hot and humid on Monday with scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms around 90. Mostly sunny Tuesday near 90. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
And I have to
be back.
Raise my volume here so I can so you guys can hear us. Okay, so we've been talking about a lot of things, and we've got a couple of people on Facebook. If you want to join us on Facebook, it's real easy. Just friend me on Stephen Gladstone, S-T-E-P-H-E-N, Gladstone, and you can see what I look like and see my office. And
win a truck.
See
a couple of trucks. You know, you can win a truck just by saying the right words.
Is that what we need to do, is start giving away trucks?
Yeah, clean your garage out, Steve.
Yeah, we'll start with all the dopey collectibles that I put together. You know, I have five carded packages of cone heads. Do you remember the cone heads from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, I remember seeing that on the table there. It made me laugh.
I have some ridiculous things that I thought would be collector's items more than... I gave away the Star Wars stuff and the Star Trek stuff to my kids because I figured, all right, they might be something that kids would appreciate years from now. But I kept things like dinosaurs and what the heck's the name of that? Cadillacs and dinosaurs. So there's these Cadillacs that shoot rockets and they fight dinosaurs. You know, it was ridiculous stuff. Didn't make a lot of sense. And of course,
well, you know,
they didn't.
You're not alone in this,
huh?
You're not alone in it. People, you know, stocked things away for decades, only to find out, thanks a lot to the internet, that nothing is it's worth nothing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it used to be like, oh, I'll save the Life magazine with the cover of the astronaut landing on the moon, and we're going to save that for 25, 30, 50 years. It'll be worth a lot of money. And the internet comes along, and you go, well, there's 5,000 other people who have the same copy of have the same edition of Life magazine.
Well,
value gone.
Document things, you know, and
yeah,
I like artwork. I really do. And one of the things that we've tried to do over the years is when we really like something, when we're on a trip or something, we buy it instead of kicking ourselves that we should have bought it.
Right.
But some of the things that we collect are totally ridiculous. In my display case behind me, there must be 30 Pez containers. Okay? Now I don't eat candy, but
and
I've
that's
got
the only thing you can use it for. That
Pez
thing
is what?
And that's the only use it has. You can't use it for something else. The pen dispenser, you know, but it's made for that one little mini brick of candy. You can't do anything else with that thing.
That's right. That's right. But they're on display in my display cabinet. That's all. There are also little mini figures of all of the 007 characters. So Oddjob and Miss Moneypenny and Goldfinger.
Q. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But a lot of people thought that was a big thing. Like I remember in the 50s and 60s, you know, save that. Oh, that's going to be a collector's item. Oh, we got to put that away with the kids.
How many people have knife collections? How many people have, gun collections. I mean, they just put
them
in cases, you know. We surround ourselves with eye candy. And, you know, I love looking at my trucks. But if they were
all gone,
would it really matter? I don't know.
Well, take pictures of them, then get rid of the other ones.
That's what I did with all of my plaques for being on all these committees for the home inspection industry and everything. All I kept was my two plaques for the highest award that I got, and I kept my president's plaque that has a hammer on it, both for the fire department and for the American Society of Home Inspectors. And the rest of them went to the recycling center. To put them up on the wall, it, to me, is not going to give me that kind of pleasure anymore. I have other stuff on the wall, but I recycle this stuff from time to time. I get tired of it. You know, my office is just filled with eye candy. I did a job the other day where the person had a whole bunch of pinball machines, and for some crazy reason, I was drawn to them again. And I've been doing nothing but trying to get rid of them.
There's an element of craziness
with all of this stuff. We are collectors and hoarders. Yes. At best, we like to surround ourselves with toys.
And I have to tell you, when I walk into a house that's decorated with minimalism, you know, where it's pretty stark.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
Really?
I don't like that because it looks very cold.
It's calming.
What's that?
I find it very calming sometimes.
Really? To me, it's like it's very cold and stark, and it's not me.
I'm in a lot of houses, so I'm used to bad taste and good taste and beautiful art and terrible art. Some people frame their kids' crayon drawings, you know, and other people have nothing on the wall. For me, we did a very interesting antique yesterday in Newtown that had a lot of stonework, that the buildings were actually made out of stone. And the showers were just beautiful tile work and intricate countertops and stuff like that. I love that. I love old antique-y stuff. But there are some places we go in that are so cluttered with stuff that you can't see the beauty of the house itself. So it goes the whole gamut.
Yep.
I consider myself lucky because I can see all this stuff and get ideas from other people. And I can enjoy their house for the 3 hours that we're there, and then I can get the hell out of there. You know?
Right.
I don't need to buy it. I can enjoy it. I really like my house. And yet my house is not perfect by a long shot. And I was sitting having breakfast this morning looking at a bunch of things that need to be finished, taped and spackled and painted. But I'm not doing it today. Even though I would feel that I had accomplished something, I'm going to try and have a nice day today.
So you're just taking off the day, basically?
Yeah, I have some things to do. I have a couple of reports that I have to finish. I have one that's very close to being finished that the people are probably wondering where it is. That's going to be done probably about 20 minutes after the show is over today. But I'm going to try and have fun. I'm going to play with the little chicks. And by the way, if you want to come over and see him, you're certainly welcome to come over and see him.
Well, I won't be able to do it today, but I would like to see them because I did see the chicken coop house last week when I walked over there.
Well, they're not in there yet. They're in the nursery. We have a nursery.
Yeah. That's a nice little area they have to be in.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Did a nice, real nice job with that.
That was interesting building that structure. That was really interesting. And,
it looks really cool. It does.
I have to make a water feeding system now. That'll be the next thing, so that they have constant water. But it's not going to be that hard. But I created a feeder out of plastic tubing that you fill the plastic tubing with the feed, and gravity feeds down into a couple of pipes that they can eat out of. And
is it a closed system or is it a constant flow to water your lawn or something?
Right now, you have to keep filling it, but it allows a lot of capacity. So we'll be able to see how much these chickens eat, whether they're worth it.
How hungry they are.
I'm sure that it's going to be the most expensive eggs that we've ever bought.
Oh, more than likely, yeah.
And now we have critters going in the garden and eating the tomatoes. So the fight against all of this just continues. You know, I have the peach tree wrapped in netting, and I don't know if the squirrels are going to get in there, but something is eating the tomatoes in the garden. So every year it's an adventure. And I think
animals will look at netting and going, geez, well, we can't get through that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hungry. I want to eat something. I'm tearing through this stuff.
Oh, this looks better than nuts. Yeah. It's an ongoing battle. It's one of those things. And it's a challenge. And I've sprayed the tree a couple of times to try and make sure that the ants don't have their share of the peaches. But the pear tree, I think there's like two pears on the whole tree. So I'm not expecting to even get a taste of the pear tree. The apple tree has got about 7 or 8 apples on it, which actually look like apples, which is nice. So we'll see what attacks that once it realizes that they're there.
Oh, they'll find it. They'll figure a way to get to it.
It's a menagerie here. There's a lot of animals. I chased a groundhog around the house yesterday. There are foxes in the yard. There are coyotes wandering around the property. Springdale, they keep noticing a bear wandering around. It's very interesting. And the hawks, these tremendous hawks.
Oh, yeah. Hanging
out. And I think they all got a message that the chickens are here.
Well, I saw a hawk near your house with a bib around his neck.
Yeah,
so I think they kind of know.
In fact, it was a lobster bib, but it had a picture of a chicken on it.
Yeah, I don't think they really care where it's from. They just they're ready.
Yeah,
but I see the hawks all the time. I mean, I don't ever remember seeing hawks before. You know, over the last several years, they're just circling around all day long.
Well, you know, we've never seen so many rabbits in this community. And I think that's what they're feeding on. I think they're swooping down and grabbing rabbits.
Yeah, yeah.
And chipmunks and rodents, because that's what they do. But there's going to be some people that are going to lose some small dogs, too.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta
that was scared. Always happening in Los Angeles, I remember. People out in the hillsides areas, even in town, but near hilly area, you know, dogs go missing, cats go missing. But, hey, the animals were there before we were, you know, as sad as it may be.
The circle of life. I mean, there's no doubt about it that
we
have encroached on their territory.
Right.
It's not that they're encroaching on ours. And they don't have a lot of fears at this point because they're not used to being hunted. They're not, you know, it's not that big a deal for them to see people. And so the deer will walk right up to you. The biggest danger to deer is cars.
Yeah, yeah, and the biggest danger to cars is deer.
Yeah, and they make quite a mess when you hit them.
Oh man!
Because most of these cars are designed to crumple. I think you said that last week.
They're all designed to just fall apart.
You hit a couple hundred pound deer, you're going to do a number on your car.
Oh, they're going to total that right away. Doesn't take much, though, but, that's what happens. So be careful. Luckily, you haven't seen any deer on the Merritt Parkway yet.
Oh, I've seen quite a few. Laying on the side of the road.
Those I've seen, but, I've seen a few out in the woods area there, but not too close to the parkway itself.
Yeah.
But it's scary when you see them because you don't know if they're just going to bolt in front of your car or not.
Well, the thing to be careful with is no matter where you see them is expect that there's going to be three more behind them.
Yeah.
So the families follow each other. You know, they're following a trail for food, and they generally travel in groups, family groups. And so if you see one, expect that there might be another couple of them running across the road after. So be careful.
Yep.
Slow down. All right. Where are we at as far as spots? Are we ready for a spot? All right. You're listening to Around the House, and we'll be right back after these words.
Gutter Guys are located in Stamford, but they cover a good deal of lower Fairfield County. And, you know, a lot of times I see houses that don't have any gutters. And the builders will often say to me, oh, you don't need gutters. We've provided enough drainage around the outside of the house. And I will tell you, that is the most nonsensical thing. You need to control the water. When the water is coming down as rain or snow or hail or any other form of water, you need to control it. And so having gutters and leaders is a great idea. And some of the products that they sell include putting up new gutters, putting up new leader pipes, directing water away from the house, and they have all different types of gutter guards and leaf guards and all kinds of things that can make your maintenance much less. So you want to give them a call. It's the Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, 327-1346, and they do gutter cleaning and power washing, and they'll clean your skylights. Give them a call, Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, and tell them you heard it on Around the House. If you are experiencing problems with insects or rodents or bed bugs, almost any pest that is annoying you other than people, you need to call Usoli Pest Control at 914-356-9084. A small family-owned and operated personalized service is offered at all times. Same-day service, 22 years of experience. He's local in the Greenwich area, so he's happy to respond to your needs. All of our services are guaranteed. And once again, it's Usoli Pest Control at usolipestcontrol.com and 914-356-9084. And it's Y-S-O-L-I Pest Control. And he's worked at my house, and I recommend him highly.
Now, one of the things I wanted to say about Usoli is that they are open during the pandemic, and they are taking the measures to protect the technicians and our clients. They're wearing face coverings, gloves, shoe covers while in the client's home or business, and you don't have to worry, but you don't have to have the mice running around or anything else. During these times, they will come in and deal with it in a safe fashion. So give them a call. Once again, 914-356-9084. And the reason why it's a 914 number was that's where he moved from and kept the cell phone from. But Jonas is a great guy, does really nice work, and he has slowed down the mice at my house, and he's been helping us with trying to keep the squirrels out of the peach tree and all the rest of that. Just a good guy, and you'll have a good experience with him. Y-S-O-L-I, Usoli Pest Control, LLC, 914-356-9084.
All right, Steve, we've got a caller. We're going to try to engage that caller right now. And go right ahead, caller. You're on with Steve.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's your mother.
Hello, mother. You're calling the radio station? What's going on?
Yes, because I'm intrigued. I want to know what happened with the new chickens.
The chickens? It was a sad story when we...
Well, I know about the originals.
Yeah, when the originals came, they were dead, and we were very upset because, first of all, we didn't like the idea of a bunch of little babies being dead in a box. And then we contacted the company, and the company said, no problem, we'll send you another box of chickens. And we were very concerned that it was going to be a similar situation because it's been so hot, and you really lose control over what's going on when things are being mailed through the post office because these things come from Cleveland. And they told us that they can survive in the box for about three and a half days. And so they mailed them. We saw that they were mailed from Cleveland, and then they disappeared. And every time we contacted the post office for the next couple of days, we were told that they're in transit, but they don't know where they are. And so we were fearing the worst. And the night before last, we got a text at 2 o'clock in the morning saying that they had been delivered to the Camp Avenue post office and that we should be prepared to get them when the office opens. And then at 7 o'clock in the morning, we got a phone call saying, come and get them. And Sandy was out jogging, and so I get a hectic phone call from Sandy saying, they're at the post office. Meet me at the post office. I'll meet you there. And so she ran to the post office, and I drove over there, and we're ringing the bell in the front of the Camp Avenue post office, and no one is answering the door, but we hear chirp, 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 cheep, 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 from behind the door. And so for about 10 minutes, we're ringing the bell and hoping somebody is going to show up. And we finally got the box, and it's making a lot of noise, and we rushed it home and opened it up, and all 10 of them were alive. But it was 3.5 days of not knowing where they were that was a nightmare because we were expecting the worst. But right now they are in the front foyer, and they're all doing very well, and they're tiny. I'll send you some pictures so that you can see what they look like. But it's a happy ending. So far everything is good, and the kids are looking at them, and the dogs are looking at them, and they're all doing well.
And how is Matthew?
Matthew is doing much better. Matthew is feeling a lot better, hopefully he's. I think he's just taken another test, and the hope is that he's okay now. But for those of you that don't know, my son was tested positive and was feeling really under the weather, but it was only for a couple of days that he was really feeling bad, and he's feeling a lot better now. And everybody else is okay.
So. Good. Okay. That's all I wanted to know.
Everybody is
goodbye.
Fine. All right. Well, thank
and
you
happy
so much.
Anniversary.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. And there is the Florida end of the family. All right. Is Jean back?
We shouldn't say that. I was going to ask where she is in Florida, but we don't want to give out that kind of information.
No, she's in the Fort Lauderdale section of Florida.
Oh, okay.
And they've been quarantined for probably better to kill each other. They've been quarantined for a long time. And my parents like to go out to restaurants and travel and do all kinds of things, and they're pretty much just locked in the condominium at this point.
Well, maybe they got some good hints about what to do while they're sitting around the house.
Yeah. I'm sure they're cleaning and organizing. It's very frustrating for a lot of people. I have lots of things that I can do around the house, some of which I don't want to do. But if you're living in an apartment, that might be trickier. Now, what are you going to do? Take the garbage out? Clean under the sink? Not the same kind.
No, that's true. That's true. I mean, people in high rises, especially.
You don't even want to get on the elevator.
Right. You got to get down the elevator, and somebody may be in it with you, or a few people may be in it with you, and then what do you do? Knock it in and go down by the stairs? How do you, or come up?
Well, I went to the eye doctor the other day, and they told us to wait in the car until it was our appointment. Then we came into the building one at a time, The elevator actually had boxes marked off in the elevator where they've asked you to stand behind the certain lines and only allow only a couple of people in the elevator at a time. And then when I went to the office of the eye doctor, they took my temperature before they'd let me into the front foyer. Then a man behind the desk took my information. And then they individually showed me to a room, and I sat in that room for about a half hour waiting for the doctor to come and see me. And then, of course, he's got gloves and a mask on. And the woman who prepared the room wiped down everything. You know, it's just, it's a very different experience right now. I went to Caraluzzi's for a supermarket in Wilton, and as soon as you walk in the door, they clean the bar of the carriage, the shopping cart for you. And, you know, there's a lot of things that are being that are going on that are, everybody's trying to help. Everybody's trying to keep people safe, and that's smart.
Well, you know, at Trader Joe's, where I go in Westport, they have, you have to wait in a, if there's a lot of people there, there's a line outside the door, right, and there's somebody monitoring it, and they say, okay, two people left, two people can go in now.
And they've got marking on the cement, too, that shows the
same. Oh, yeah, yeah. And they have somebody out there where, you know, they have a setup outside, you know, the carriage, the little carriage house there. And you can, you know, you have a disinfectant on it and towels and all that kind of stuff. So they, everything is prepared. And you have to pretty much follow the flow inside, because there's a flow if you're shopping, and there's a line also if you're ready to check out. So you have to ask which line you're in to find out where to stand. But
that's,
you know, it's
why
the way it is.
The numbers are lower in Connecticut right now than a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah.
There are places on this country where people are just saying, I don't believe it, I'm not going to get sick, and they're not taking the same kind of risk management and taking care of each other. The photographs of or the videos of people at the beach too close to each other, people
yep.
at bars and restaurants too close to each other, they don't want to believe that they can get sick. And when they do get sick, they can't believe how foolish they were to misunderstand this. This is a plague. This is a terrible thing.
One of Chuck Woolery had that.
Said on the first day when he got it, was you just don't want to get this. You feel terrible.
No. And Chuck Woolery was blasting, oh, it's a hoax, it's no such thing, and blah, 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 blah. And then his son was tested positive. Now he's changed his tune. But the fact that...
I don't know what people are thinking. This is real.
I don't know.
This is not...
They trust him more, they trust the president more than they do scientists who have been doing all this stuff for years and years and years and know what they're talking about. And it's like,
listen,
you're foolish.
For them to attack Dr. Fauci's now is just...
terrible.
It's just awful. It's
yeah.
awful. That should knock him out of office right from the get-go. To
absolutely.
Knock doctors that are doing nothing but trying to protect us, to attack them, to be firing people, this guy's a lunatic.
Yeah, he
you
is.
Know,
that's nothing new. He's
people,
always been that way.
A lot of people are for Trump because the economy for them is good. But this is not a government that I can even believe that we're following at this point.
I know. I know. I agree.
To tax everyone that says anything that he doesn't want to believe. And he doesn't believe in science. How many
no.
people have to die before our leadership starts to wear masks? I mean, how ridiculous is this? And they just don't want to hear it. This guy hasn't lied to us. This doctor has not lied to us once. He has said, be careful, be careful, be careful. This is bad. And it is
And this
bad.
Is going to get worse.
And they keep saying, don't open up. You don't need the money that bad. Let social services take care of the people that need to be taken care of. Let that, donate money to the food bank. Donate money to feed the people in the hospitals. Take care of everyone as much as possible. We can do that. We're a rich enough country that we can do that. But don't ignore this. This is just stupid to ignore. The idiots that are draping themselves with Confederate flags and not wearing masks and saying stupid things. There are always going to be stupid people. We shouldn't stupid people. It makes me crazy.
That's always true.
Nothing has been happening in government. Zero. Because of this Democratic and Republican nonsense. We need people to build. We need people to put together programs. We need people to take care of people. Not to ridicule and make fun of and name call. It's beyond bizarre.
Well, it's a lot easier to tear something down than it is to build it. And it's easier to point fingers at people and blah, blah, blah. Well, do something about it that's positive. Because that ain't happening. And people, that's where we are. And it's to make fun of people and, to diss scientists who know what they're doing is ridiculous.
Not only that, look at the focus that's been going on in the science profession. Look at how hard these people are working towards a vaccine, how hard they're working towards testing things to see whether or not they can conquer this. These are the people that are going to be our heroes when they find this, and they will find this. But to attack the CDC and give it a break.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes no sense whatsoever. And more and more people are finally, hopefully, becoming aware of that.
If people don't vote him out of office, there's just something wrong. There's just so much wrong with this country that we could do this. I understand that people wanted change, that people didn't want Hillary, but I don't understand this at all. This is just so bad, and it just gets worse every day. The way that we're treating immigrants, the way that we're treating they're more interested in building this damn wall at this point. They're taking money out of other things to build this wall when we need to be feeding people, when we need to be taking care of medicine for people. We need to accept the fact that the United States is aging and that people are spending a fortune on medications, that the medical industry is too expensive and we need to subsidize this stuff. We need to take care of people. Not build walls against people. And whenever has a wall worked?
Well, it's that from the get-go, most people understood that the wall is not going to keep people out.
It's just symbolic.
Especially if you're running away.
It's ridiculous. It's a waste of millions and millions of dollars.
There's a lot of ways to get around the wall. Plus,
we can't afford it because of this pandemic. We can't afford it. That's where you cut the money.
Well, he's not a bright guy, let's put it that way.
That's my 10 minutes of ranting.
I know. But it feels good.
Well,
and there's a reason.
The six people on Facebook and I don't know how many people listening on the radio. If you're angry at me for getting angry, sorry. I'm angry.
I don't like the situation.
I have a lot of difficulty looking at the newspaper now, because even if there's a bias in the newspaper, what's going on just doesn't sit well with me. Just doesn't sit well.
No, I agree.
Well, that's why I have you on the show.
I heard that. Okay,
listening to Around the House ranting.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about the window people. They've been in business over 80 years doing home improvements and creating home improvement excellence. Ted Davey and I have been friends for more than 35 years, and they're located at 43 McGee Avenue in Stamford. The window people do all kinds of home improvements at this point, not only windows and doors, but they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing all kinds of improvements. Their website is www.thewindowpeople.net. You can reach them by dialing 203-323-1804. They've been selling and installing high-quality windows, doors, roofing, skylights, siding, awnings, selling it to homeowners and contractors and businesses in Fairfield and Westchester counties since 1932. And Ted Davey is involved with every aspect of it and a friend of mine. So when you call him, tell him Steve Gladstone told you to call. Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719, 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719. So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys and about 5 trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com or 203-540-1533, 203-540-1533, Jonathan's Painting Service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves, and I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service, 203-540-1533.
And now, here's Around the House with Steve Gladstone.
Hey, yeah. All right, I want to talk about budget blinds for a couple of minutes. You know, a lot of people don't realize that Andrew Bogdan was born and raised in Greenwich, Connecticut, and he lives in Darien now with his wife Karen and 3 children, Jack, Sarah, and Kate. And after a whole bunch of successful years owning budget blinds of Greenwich, he expanded the business to serving Stamford, Darien, New Canaan, and Rowayton, and now he's in Wilton and Norwalk as well. And his goal with each client is to help them find the right style and fit for their home and budget. And they start with free in-home consultation. So it doesn't cost you anything to have them come in and show you. And they bring the showroom to you with no obligation, take precise measurements, and then as you order the materials, whether it's plantation blinds or draperies or blinds with cords and blinds without cords and all kinds of different things, they will deliver them and fully install them, professionally install them, and then clean up after, not the whole house, but just wherever they're working. And they offer everything from automated window coverings, plantation shutters, wood blinds, shades for French doors, natural skylight shades, every style of soft treatment and drapery. They make it easy to find the right fit for your needs and your budget. And they've got that 5-year, in most cases, no questions asked warranty, where they will replace anything that they've installed without question if you've got a concern about it. So it's absolutely a wonderful opportunity for you to take advantage. They can be reached at 203-614-1559. 203-614-1559. And tell them that you heard it on Around the House. They'll appreciate that they know that their advertising is working. And he's my friend. Use my name. Maybe they'll give you a discount. All right, we're back. And I've been ranting, so I have to slow it down. I have to take a breath.
Relax.
We have to think of a tip of the week so that Tony's got something to play on Mondays.
I kind of have one.
Which one do you have?
It was advice I think you were giving about walking around. Go for a walk.
You like that?
Hobbies, things like that. That wasn't a bad tip.
But
if you got one, I'll see if you can top it.
Well, I think one of the things that people should do, and I've said this before, so it's not the most current tip of the week, but walk around the house and look to see if anything is leaking. Look to see if you had any water damage during that heavy rain. Look to see if your gutters are clogged. Look to see if there's any deterioration in the basement. Some people have cardboard boxes and stored items right on the floor. Look to see if any of that stuff is either smelling moldy or is getting wet and is damp, because you might be able to salvage that before it gets too bad. You might be able to fix something before it gets damaged. We were in a house the other day that had the tray below the air conditioner was filled with water. There isn't supposed to be water in that tray. That tray is a safety device to catch the water if it's leaking, and there's a little float device that lifts up and shuts off the air conditioner if water's in the tray. So how about just going up into that hot, blistering attic and just take a look and see if everything is okay? Because if you don't go up there for months at a time, maybe there's some bad stuff going on. So a little preventative maintenance might help you from having a horrific situation take place.
Ta-da.
It's about 12 minutes of. If you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051. Only my mommy called today. So if you want to call in, you're welcome to call in. We've got a few minutes.
You know, there's another thing, too. If in your garage, do you ever look at the floor of your garage? Most people I know, I do it all the time. You back out, and you leave. And you come back, you hold, the door goes up. And you never notice if there's anything leaking from your car.
Okay.
You know, like whether it's water or if it's an antifreeze, is it brake fluid? But sometimes you just drive in, you don't really notice it. And then when you're backing out, you're looking at the monitor or you're looking at your head's, you know, facing backwards. Take a look and see if there's any leakage around your car.
You know, a lot of times the air conditioning, when you're shutting off the car, is going to lose some fluid, and it's going
right,
to be water.
Right, just water. Yeah.
Not necessarily a big deal, but you're right. How about the things that fall out of your car when you're not paying any attention, like that ballpoint pen or a water bottle or something? Is that laying on the floor, and you're going to drive over it the next time you come in?
Right.
Everyone,
I'll give you
another car out. Just look at
the
floor.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Your call for a call has been heated. Okay. We're gonna punch somebody up here. Hang on. Let's see here if this. I'm gonna see if we're gonna get all this to work here. Okay, so we're gonna bring Steve back and hopefully the caller.
Good morning.
Oh, hang on. Okay, go ahead,
Steve,
caller.
Steve, how are you doing?
Hey, Bishop, how are you?
Good. Congratulations. I add my felicitations to your long-time career on radio. What we go back to WSTC, I remember when you first came on.
You do?
Yes. After all, I'm in Stanford 40 years. WSTC was on all the time, just like WGH is on all the time.
Do you remember what was on just before us?
What's that?
Do you remember the show that was on just before us?
I think it was Clark Howard.
Well, we had Clark Howard on, and there was a religious show. There was a priest that used to do a show for about a half hour before we got on that ultimately opened up a church, I believe, on Crescent Street in Stamford.
Uh-huh. Possibly so, but I don't remember that.
Yeah. And then after us was Lenny Cinto with the Garden Show.
Yes.
It was very popular.
Yes. We also had a show where you called in to sell your items. Did you remember that?
The tag sale.
Yeah.
The tag sale was great.
Really. I mean, because you got a lot of stuff sold.
Yeah, Marianne was on that show for a while, and a bunch of people ran that show, and they would actually announce where the tag sales were, and they would announce certain items. It was really kind of interesting. I tried that this weekend. It didn't work for me, though.
Well, it's the circumstances. It would have been okay if it wasn't the circumstances we're under now.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you know, a lot of people came up the driveway with masks on and stuff.
Yeah.
And there were probably
that
are not driving around going to
Texas. You remember the good old slogans on radio? I'd walk a mile for a camel. Or the call for Philip Morris, Lucky Strikes make good tobacco.
How come
you'll wonder where the yellow went when you brushed your teeth with Pepsodent.
Yep. There's a channel on Sirius Radio, on satellite radio, that just plays old radio shows, and it's fascinating to listen to the commercials because so much of it is really bad science.
Yeah, but you see, people are still tuned into the radio, which is great. But but going back to it, when did TV come into existence? In 1947,
right.
You know, Dumont. Remember the word Dumont?
I do.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw a color TV.
Yeah.
It was in the Cherrywood Lounge in Wantagh, Long Island. And it was a terrible color TV. I mean, it was runny and flickery.
Oh, yeah, you had to be so careful to adjust it.
Yeah. We're so spoiled now.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. But, yeah, to listen to some of the old radio shows, to listen to Amos and Andy, to listen to...
Tom Mix, Dick Tracy, Johnny Dollar...
Yeah.
Who else? Lone Ranger, Buck Rogers, all these old shows on the radio. I remember all of them.
And the kids don't even, they don't know. They don't know.
They don't know they never heard of this stuff.
Well, they're not apt to listen to it either because they're on their TikTok and on their...
Yeah, I don't like when people are texting walking across the street.
Yeah, well, you know, that's survival of the fittest. There are going to be people that are going to get killed that way. They're going to walk in, they're going to fall into the manhole covers. I had somebody on the job the other day almost fell into the septic system, wasn't paying attention. That would have been a bad one.
That's wonderful. Well, those are the days we should recall and say, God, we had a good time then.
Yeah. What are you doing this weekend? Anything fun?
Oh, no. It's going to be too warm. Going to keep the air high and stay home.
Stay home. All right. Do you have any, are there any kids in your parish that could benefit from some toys?
I'll find out.
Look into that, because I would donate a bunch of this stuff. I'm not going to be able to sell most of it.
Okay. I shall let you know.
We can always wipe down the boxes before we give them away to anybody if anybody's worried about it. But fortunately, I tested negative and have not exposed myself to anyone. If I expose myself to anyone, you'll read about it in the newspaper.
Steve, have they invented a meter yet to say how much of this stuff is in the air?
No, I don't think so. I don't think. I have a suspicion that they're not even sure how this is still getting transmitted. I haven't seen anything, and I think that there's probably a bunch of people that are doing everything they can to try and figure out how to detect it, but I haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, it's getting close to the end. It's so nice talking with you again today. God bless you and all the ones in your listening area, and let's keep our cool.
Good words. Thank you.
Okay. Bill. So long.
Have a good weekend. Stay safe.
Thank you. God bless you.
If you want to call in, you still got a minute or two. It's 661-501, 203-661-5051. Write it down so I don't have to say it so many times. All right, we have about five people listening on Facebook. And
so you're going to be finishing up your assignment, one of your things you've got to work on today, right from here, correct? You're going home. You're going to be working.
Well, I'm home. I'm home.
That's right. You are home already. So you'll be working on your getting caught up on all your
which project I'm
your work.
Take. But I am looking at the little, it's not really a gazebo, but it's kind of a decorative arbor that's in my front yard that looks filthy to me from my window. So I might go out there and clean that. That might be one of my projects. But I don't know yet.
Is there anything you can get? Like, I know you had that big time machine thing there, which is a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. Boy, that thing is big.
It's fun, though. I played a bunch of games while I was hanging out doing nothing during the tag sale. It does have a lot of games in it.
You said, like, what, 1,000 games or something?
I've never counted how many actual games are in there, but there's a lot of games. And it's just, it's just a supercomputer with a lot of emulator games in it. But when you click on Ms. Pac-Man, it plays Ms. Pac-Man. If you click on Dig Dug, it brings up Dig Dug. All these old arcade games, yeah.
And again, you've got, what, 4 people can play at the same time, I saw.
I believe so. I mean, it really depends on the game. But it's really a cool thing. That's why, when I originally bought it, it was a lot of money. Somebody said, I'm coming back for that, and the TV was acting very bizarre, and so I offered him a price that was ridiculous. I'm glad he didn't come back, because I fixed the TV not long after that, and it was working fine. So.
Oh, you fixed that? I didn't know that. Oh, okay.
I had a price on it, but I was ready to just roll it out and put it in the trash.
Boy, that's something. Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that's the way it is.
When did you get that?
What?
When did you get that thing?
Oh, at least 10 years ago.
Wow.
And we've upgraded the computer. We've done a bunch of things to make it even better. But, now it's actually in the computer box inside that plays all these games and stuff. And there's shooting games.
Like you were talking earlier about, people and they have their games. And they thought, oh, this will be cool. It'll be, we'll sell it eventually. And now it's still there.
Well,
nobody's going to,
there's a lot of
adults
that have game rooms that want these things. There's no doubt about it. They can be fun. And, the games were very popular. It started all of this other stuff. It's just that the computer is taken over.
Yep.
All right.
I hear music.
I want to thank Gene and Tony for being on. And,
thank you.
Hopefully everyone will stay safe and follow some of the advice that we gave, and we'll see everybody next week.